Give us the word.
Thank you. Well, thank you, brother. It is so great to be here at Victory. And I tell you what, I saw the building yesterday, walked around it, and God, I was going to say something, but that wouldn't be appropriate to say. Yeah, I bellied up to the bar. And but I've been a Christian a long time. I don't drink. So anyway, I just need to put that in there. But, you know, when you start, God starts stirring your nest, and you, as a church and individual, you start getting vision for the kingdom of God, you need to move on it. And to see the location of that facility and how you has the three obvious, focal points of it, the front, the side, the back, and I already claimed the front part as the park for the kids in the church and when y'all have special events. But, in every move that we ever made as a church, I've built four buildings in my career as a pastor. We've never been able to afford anything. Never. And I remember I signed the last note I signed. We built a building without a congregation. That don't do that. And I remember what I had to do because we had built buildings and paid buildings off, but this one, I really didn't have time to wait. I was 55 then. And so I signed that note, and I went out to my car, and I sat down, and I thought, well, it's official now. You've lost your mind. But I had a word from the Lord, because you don't want to do anything without a word from God. And I had this word from the Lord, and it was an amazing thing, the process of how God brings miracles into your life and the way that God does it. I wish he was a little bit faster, but there's a purpose in what he's trying to accomplish in us, what he has us to wait on him. And when you learn God's timing, because you want to be on time with God at all times. But actually, I built the last facility, and where we moved our church to that particular spot was really I was building that for my son. I didn't know that at the time, but at 55, and then I pastored there for those many years, and then my son took the church 4 years ago. And when I gave it to my son, Star, he took over. I've been to two staff meetings in 4 years at Fellowship Church. And I just said, brother, go for it. Now, we talk all the time and plan all the time. And God has blessed his ministry. And they're at a point now where, and we have a pretty big building, but it's going to have to enlarge. They're going to have to enlarge that building and just trying to figure out which way they're going to go with it. He's totally packed out two services and getting ready to start three. And so it's amazing to see your son accomplish the calling in his life. I never told him, your daddy's a little preacher, you're not like that kind of stuff. I let the Holy Spirit tell him that he was God's preacher. Now, the best news that I have is this past Thursday, I became a great grandpa. Yeah, you ought to see this little girl that we got. I have so many girls in my life now. I already have seven granddaughters and three grandsons. Now I have one great-granddaughter, and we'll have another one in, we believe in populating the earth, but I'll have another one in March, and they named this little girl. And I told them, don't do this for me. Don't do it because of me. But they named her Scotty Rose. And she is absolutely adorable, of course, you know, because it's your granddaughter. But, man, I'm glad I'm through with raising kids, tell you the truth. I got to thinking about all that's necessary, but you're young and you can do those kinds of things. Let me tell you a beautiful sight. When all of my grandkids are there, and my kids and their spouses, and they're at my house, and they're just having a great time, and they stay all day long and half the night. I mean, these people don't know when to leave, you know. And so I am 70. You look at somebody and say, he didn't look 70. I got to quit saying it. People laugh when I start saying that. I feel like I'm lying when I'm saying I'm 70 years old. I thought, you are not 70 years old, man. You done. But the great sight to see those red taillights going out of my driveway. So, hallelujah. You know, I want to come here with a challenge. I know what it is to step out in faith. My motto has always been that I've tried to live my Christian life, think big, ask big, and risk big. And risk big is the part that you have to step out in faith and trust God. Because if we can just do it on our own, we don't really need God. But you're going to need God to do what you want to do there in Gainesville. And the way that God does what he does, he does it his way, and his way is the best way. So as you guys begin to go forward and have that facility available right now, and I want to honor your pastors up here. This couple right here, let me tell you something. They are stepping out in faith, believing God, and they've had this excitement. You know, ministry in life, there's low spots and up, you know, high spots and all that. But it doesn't matter. You've got to just press on in your faith until God really releases you to do the things you need to do. So I believe it's a great thing that you're going to do. And what great people to lead you, your leadership team here, and of course your pastors, who I absolutely adore. I get to travel all over the United States in all kinds of churches, all different size churches, and I just love coming down here, being with this family, being on the farm, and then coming here to the church and seeing you guys. Here's what's special about Victory. Victory has very special people. You're unique people. You're faithful people. You've been coming, believing. And I tell you, just give me a few people that's faithful. And we can do anything we want to do. And so I just want you to keep your confession right about where God's moving you. Never let doubt and unbelief creep in or being judgmental. Not that you are. I didn't even know why I'm saying this, but I'm saying it. Because the devil, he likes to come in and mess up stuff, you know. I mean, I am so careful because, you know, as you guys know, a couple years ago, I almost died. And I had to really stick and be strong in my confession of faith. And it works. So what you guys are doing, I think it's awesome. And like the Pastor Bill said, that we became friends. And I've been thinking about the church in the last few months, this church, and what you guys are going to do. And if you look how God thinks, you know, the Bible says his ways are beyond our ways. There are times when we don't understand God. We really don't. And so, but I got to thinking about what he was doing and what he's doing here and all over the world right now. If you look at Ecclesiastes 3, don't turn to it, but if you read that, God works in seasons. There are times and seasons that God's going to work in our lives. And in each season, there's a purpose. In Ecclesiastes said, and there's a purpose unto heaven. For everything, for every purpose, for everything that we're doing, God is working, maneuvering, placing us in situations and positions so that when we are it's time to take that step of faith, we move in that faith. And so I want you to know, I believe there's a season that you guys, a new season that you're entering into. I thought about this last night, and it's important you understand the season that you're in. Because if you miss the moment, you miss God. When it's time to move, you move. When it's time not to be still, you be still. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. You know what I mean? And so of my years of ministry, 40 years, I've been married as of last March, this past March, 50 years. Yes. My wife has put up with me for 50 years. And we went on a cruise together, and we met each other in high school. We got married when I was at LSU. And I'm glad you mentioned LSU. And I'm glad I wasn't here last week. And I mean, with all my kids and grandkids and church and ministry and my new baby and all this stuff and our whole life being married 50 years, I get exhausted just thinking about it, you know. But how good and faithful God is. And I want to take something and unpack it for you today, a message that really is one of my favorite messages to preach. You know, there's certain messages in my life. It's just only been a few that changed my life forever. And this is one of those messages that changed my life forever. Now, I'm from South Louisiana. That's where the Cajuns are. You know, and we have boudin and etouffee and jambalaya. And there are some famous people down there. And you see, you say David, we say David. You say Richard, we say Richard. You say Herbert, we say Abair. So I'm trying to teach you how to talk right now. So Boudreaux and Thibodeau are very famous people down in South Louisiana. Everybody knows Boudreaux. Matter of fact, Boudreaux is so popular, most people know Boudreaux all over the world. Well, Boudreaux was in Florida the other day, and he was following behind a truck, and a hog fell out of this truck. One of the hogs we were probably trying to shoot yesterday, but they're of the devil anyway, but we're just trying to help the Lord out with them hogs. But anyway, he fell out, and so Boudreaux picked the hog up, put him in his car, but he took off, and he was speeding to catch the guy that was driving the truck where the hog fell out of, and a state policeman pulled Boudreaux over because Boudreaux was speeding. So he walked up to his truck and said, "Boudreaux, is that you?" Because everybody knows Boudreaux, you know. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "What are you speeding for?" And so he told him the story about the hog. He said, "Boudreaux, I want you to take that hog and take him right down this road and bring him to the zoo right now." So Boudreaux got in his car, and they brought the hog back. About 2 days later, Boudreaux was driving down the highway. He had the hog in the car with him sitting in the front seat. The same state policeman stopped him and said, "Boudreaux, didn't I tell you to take that hog to the zoo?" He said, "I did." He said, "Look, we had so much fun, I'm visiting, bringing him down to Walt Disney World." And everybody said, "Hey!" I want to share a particular season in my life that really changed my life. So, Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for something that's going to be deposited that's going to change all of us in this room, including me, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about something that's supernatural. I think that we all have talent. I know we do. Talents, abilities, and, you know, we have intellect, and we're able to do things, and we don't need God's help to do everything. I don't need God to brush my teeth, you know, and I don't need God to do whatever. I can cut my grass. But I believe whatever you do in God, you should use all your talents, abilities, intellect that God has given you. But I also believe you need the supernatural thread of the power of God working through your lives, your family, your ministry. Because if you don't have that supernatural presence of God, man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. If you don't have that supernatural presence of God, you just did it on your own. And I don't want to do it on my own. I want to make sure that I got a place that I couldn't get. That it came available because God did something. And that's the way kind of my life's been. But this is a revelation that came into my life. It's supernatural. And it helped influence me in such a way. It shaped my life. It shaped my family's life, my church's life. And here's a question. How would you like to be supernaturally blessed in your finances, your health, your marriage, your family, all your emotions. Have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and victory over the devil and victory over the flesh every day of your life. Amen. Well, it was paid for, and we can live in it. The secret is the supernatural power of the blessing of God. We say things like, people might sneeze, we might say, God bless you. Or we bless the food. And we just use it kind of trivial. It's just something that is said that's become commonplace. But it's far more, and let's put it like this, it's so much more deeper than us just saying a word. It is the makeup of God, the power of the blessing. I think the Christian church many times have lost the influence of the blessing when we just use it in simple ways when God wants to use it in a powerful way. He wants to change our lives in such a supernatural way. I want to share with you that of this power that I walk into my life, and I will prove it to you in some testimonies of what God's done for me. And so the Christian church doesn't get it sometimes. They don't understand it. They only take it as just another part of the church world, which I don't like that kind of thinking. I like the kind of thinking that my God can do anything at any time, anytime He wants, and He don't have to ask me for my permission. He can just show up God. You know what I mean? But the church didn't get it sometimes, and they don't really understand that all that God wants to do. I got a great Boudreaux joke, but I'll skip it. Don't skip it. You know, Boudreaux was working for his for the boss man, and he was chopping wood, and the boss man wrote a check and paid him with a check. And Boudreaux said, "What's that?" He said, "That's a check." He said, "What's that?" Boudreaux didn't know what a check was. He said, "You take that check to the bank, give it to the teller, he gives you some money." Boudreaux said, "I like that." So he got in his P-Row, went down the bayou, went to the bank, walked to the teller, put the check down. He said, "Give me my money." He said, "Okay, but you got to sign the back of the check." He said, "I'm not signing the back of the check. My boss man said, I give you the check, you give me the money." And he said, "No, Boudreaux, you got to sign the back of the check." So they started arguing. Boudreaux said, "Give me the check." He took it and got back in his P-Row, went to the other bank on the other side of the bayou. And walked in the bank, went to the teller and said, "Give me my money." I said, "Boudreaux, you got to sign the back of the check." He said, "I'm not signing the back of the check." So they started arguing. So the teller reached up and grabbed Boudreaux and started slapping him around. He said, "Sign the back of the check." So Boudreaux signed the back of the check. He got his money. He went back to that first bank, waving that money. He said, "Hey, I got my money." He said, "Well, how'd you do that?" He said, "I gave him the check. He gave it back to me. He told me to sign it. I signed the check. I gave it to him. He gave me my money." He said, "I told you to do that." He said, "Yeah, but you didn't explain it like he explained it." And so, I'm going to explain it to you today, okay? You know, if you wanted to have a great marriage, it's in the Bible. There are just really biblical, practical, not just revelations, applications, excuse me, that you can use. You know, there, if you want to be healthy, you can find that in the Bible. If you want to have a great marriage, I've been married 50 years. I have a great marriage. I've learned after 50 years how to be happy and have a long-lasting happy marriage. But it's in the Bible. If you want to apply something about your money, your family, dating, I don't care what it is, you can find that in the Bible. There are so many facets to the Spirit of God and personalities of God in just practical, principle ways, like I've been talking about, that you and I can just use. You can just look at it and read it and just put it to work in your life. I mean, I don't have to join Jenny Craig, and I'm not against that. Or those other diet plans, I'm not against those. A matter of fact, they work. I've seen those work if you apply them to your life. But there's things in of God, these principles and these practical things that we can do. But they are supernatural interventions of God. And if we let that get by us, the supernatural interventions of the power of God, we miss God. We only live a life with a glass half full. We don't get the whole nine yards with God. And God wants you to have it all. He wants to bless you in such a way that you know He's God and you know He's working on your behalf. Unexplainable events. And it's all the product of our faith and believing. I was told that I was supposed to die, but I decided I would just trust God. Seriously, April was a year ago. So this April will be 2 years. I got real sick with pneumonia, with developed and all kinds of things and stuff like that. And I really got sick. I mean, some people may have an infirmity or something like that, but when you get physically sick, when your liver begins to shut down and all this kind of stuff, you got some issues you got to deal with, wanting to put me on a liver transplant and all that kind of stuff. So I was very careful to use what I knew about faith in the Bible, about the Word of God, my confession. I would like the doctor would say, oh, he looked at my report. You have cirrhosis of the liver. I don't drink. I hadn't drank a beer or anything since I was 26 years old after I got saved. And I would say, yeah, that's what they say. I would not say what he said. I just said what they said about that report. But what I'm trying to explain to you, I was very, very disciplined in how I was going to live my life and that I was going to live. And my wife did something incredible along with me in taking care of me in ways that helped me really find my healing, which I am totally healed, by the way. But so when the four principles of the five steps and the seven keys in the book you just read ain't working, come on, you need God to show up, huh? So what is it to be blessed? What is it to have God's favor on your life? One of the most, I won't read all these verses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. But he asks this question. He says, today I have given you a choice. In other words, I'm going to put the ball in your court. You make the decision. He says, between life and death, between blessings and curses. He says, I call on heaven and earth to witness to your choice, the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose. So look at the heart of God. I like the way God just displays his heart to it. That you would choose life and your descendants might live. Choose to love the Lord your God, to obey him and commit yourselves to him, for he is your life. Then you will live long on the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The blessing. It's the supernatural importation of the power and favor of God over a human's life spoken by delegated authority over you. Parents, I want you to really get this, because you've got power that you don't even know that you have over your children. Dad, you are the spiritual father of your home, and you should walk in that spirit. I'm not talking about brutal, but I'm talking about in a way that God would walk in your home. My daughter would say, Daddy, things would happen for me, and Dad, she's my girl. My little girl would say, Daddy, you so lucky. And I am not lucky. I'm blessed. There's a big difference. And I'm blessed. I do believe that everything you lay your hands to will prosper. I believe things that God says about us. And so I want to set this message up so that you can receive it, understand it, and I'm going to take my time. I'm going to pace myself. And I want to unpack it. I might go just a few minutes longer, but I want you to get this. And I want to grab your attention, and I don't want to lose it. I want to give you a little history of the Bible talks about the blessing. The first time, or the first thing that God did after he created Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, he says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number. He just created the Creator, and then he creates man and woman, and the first thing he does, now watch God's heart, he blessed them. Remember, supernatural importation of the favor and power over someone's life. Favor. In other words, I heard a message one time, favor ain't fair. But we have God's favor, so we can expect God doing big things for us. Supernatural. The second blessing, excuse me, in Scripture is in Genesis 12. When he told Abraham, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. Then everybody knows what he said in number 6. God instructed Moses to bless the children of Israel. Watch how it just starts progressing through the whole Bible. Then he said to Moses, instruct to bless the people. He said, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you, be gracious to you. May the Lord show his favor and give you peace. And this is how Aaron and his sons will designate the Israelites and or tell them what to do. And he spoke forth the blessing. You ever wonder why Jewish people are so blessed? They're blessed because they believe in this. Jesus started his public ministry with 9 supernatural blessings. We call them the Beatitudes. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed is the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed, he sorted out. And everyone that participates in those 9 blessings, they will actually shape your life and your destiny if you'll participate in those 9 things right there. Watch how God starts off, he blesses Adam and Eve. Then he begins to bless the people from generation to generation to generation. It's not just sneezing and saying, God bless you, or blessing the food. This is something supernaturally God is pouring into their life. Jesus comes on the scene. The first time he ministers, he speaks 9 supernatural blessings over the people. And if you will let those 9 blessings dictate your life, you will shape your destiny. Like we say in Louisiana, I guarantee you, it'll shape your destiny. In the middle of teaching one time, there were some children making noise like kids are supposed to do, make noise and they're fidgety and whatever else. And then they told them to stop the kids. Don't let them do it. But Jesus said this. Then he took the children into his arms, placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. Jesus is walking the ministry. He's continuing as God in the flesh with the blessings of God. The first and last thing, this is the point, the first and last thing he did was to impart the blessing. When he had been led out to the vicinity of Bethany, now this is after his ministry, he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. The Apostle Paul understood the power of the blessing. Every epistle he wrote, it began with a supernatural divine blessing over the people. Read the epistles, you'll find out what he did. Jesus had 12 disciples, and he said to them, he said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And at that point in time, they were not. They were full of imperfections, unbelief. Peter would deny the Lord himself. But they did become the salt and the light of the world. And the point is, they rose to the blessing that Jesus spoke over them. So you might not be where you need to be right now, and you might not be all that you're going to be or could be, but you just live in the blessed life, and you live under the blessing, or you listen to me, you will rise up to what the Bible says and what the Bible calls you. It's powerful. He actually shaped, they rose to the level of the blessing, and he shaped their destiny through the power of the blessing. Wow. Parents, you have to get this because you can shape your children's destiny. Every father, being the spiritual authority of his home, you can speak over your family. With the spoken blessing, your children can literally become what you say. You shape their destiny. You take charge over their life. Think. Now I want you to think. Well, what do you mean? Go back years and generations and in your family or whatever. That your life has been shaped, some in a bad way. You know, with curses, not blessings. But you can change all that today. Are you listening to me? The moment you begin to speak blessings over them, this is what you release. Protection, prosperity, health, and the anointing. Angels to guard them. Someone tried to murder my son last year. He killed one person in our community. I live in the country. In a quiet, beautiful community. And this guy had walked up in a driveway. Now, we're in the country, so we're spread out. Of someone that we've known for most of our lives. And shot him with a shotgun and killed him. My son was jogging in front of his property. We call him Buck, Big Buck. And he shot my son twice with a shotgun from the road. My son was probably 30 feet away. Didn't kill him. I was in Las Vegas at a pastor's conference. We flew right home. A couple weeks after this was like 2 week intervals, he walked into a guy's driveway, shot him and killed him with a .357 Magnum. 2 weeks later, he shot and killed the guy that runs the Boy Scout camp in our area. Killed him dead. But he got caught. Now, why didn't he kill my son? And I'm going to tell you what I believe. Because I pray the blood of Jesus and the power of the blessing over my family every day of my life, and have done so since they were little bitty kids. And he didn't kill my son. Because under the blessing, there's protection. There's healing. There's deliverance. I'm telling you, this thing works. My kids, as each one got married, when my oldest son, Big Buck, got married, I brought him in the bedroom. I said, okay, I'm going to pray now the blessing over you, because you're going to become the blesser one day. So I laid hands on my son and prayed a prayer blessing over him. And then my second son, who's pastor of Churchtown Star, when he got married, I brought him in the bedroom, closed the door, and I prayed the power of the blessing over my son. Again, since they were little kids. Listen to this. Remember to talk about my daughter. I don't want to forget that blessing, I pray. I could take my hand, put it on the floor. They would come put their head as little kids in my hand. I could hold my hand like this. They'd get a chair and get in a chair just so that they could get under the blessing of my hand. Now, they didn't know any better, but I did. But they understood that there was something powerful about it. And then they grew up their whole life that way, me praying over them and God doing supernatural things. And then my daughter, when she got married, we were at the church. And in the hallway of the church, somebody snapped a picture. I didn't even know they were taking a picture. I prayed the blessing of God over my daughter. Now, have they had trouble? Yes. Have they had problems? Have they faced things? Yes. But guess what? They came out of it. They overcame it. Because why? They're blessed. And I refuse not to be blessed, or my family blessed, or our church blessed, or Victory Church blessed. I refuse that will not happen. I'm getting mad right now. That ain't happening. Catch your attitude here. Jewish parents have been praying these kind of prayers over their children their whole life. When they're 12 years old, the bar mitzvah, the fathers bring the children, the boys, the girls as a bat mitzvah, they bring them up in front of the congregation of the church and they lay hands on them and they pray the prayer of the blessing over them. Wow. When Jacob was dying, listen to this, he gathered his 12 sons around him and the Bible said he blessed them. And if you get your Bible and you follow each one of those 12 kids' life throughout the Bible, they lived out exactly what their father Jacob prayed over them. Exactly. I'm telling you, this is the real deal. One of the greatest revivals in American history took place in Pensacola. You remember the Brownsville blessing? You know what the pastor contributed that blessing to? The reason it happened, the thousands of people that got saved and healed. Three things: persistent prayer, weekly communion, and the prayer blessing. That's what he said. This is the reason we had it. One of America's great revivals. Listen to this. Listen to Galatians 3. But Christ has rescued us from the curse and pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing. For it is written in Scripture, curses everyone that's hung on a tree. Through the work of Christ Jesus, listen, God has blessed the Gentiles. Watch now, this is big. With the same blessings and promises to Abraham, and we Christians receive the promises of the Holy Spirit through faith. Jesus became the curse so that we could receive the blessing. And he did it at the cross. In the Bible, the right hand always symbolizes the greater blessing. The left hand, the lesser blessing. So the oldest child would normally get the blessing. If the daddy would pass the blessing down, it would go to the older child. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, which is the place of blessing. Stay with me. When Jacob blessed his grandchildren, his right hand was the greater blessing. The left hand is the lesser blessing. Joseph brought his children to him to bless them, and he reversed his hands. And Joseph said, in my lingo, Daddy, you're doing this wrong. You're supposed to pray for the oldest one. But that was the foreshadowing of the cross of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was going to take the lesser blessing so the Gentiles, us, we could have the greater blessing. And he did that because on the cross, Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He hadn't forsaken him. He wanted the blessing to go through the bloodline of Abraham so every Gentile on the face of the earth could live under the power and the blessings of our father Abraham. We became joint heirs right then. Boom! God, that's good preaching, Scott. People who were no people, people who had no name, outside the covenant of Abraham, but on the cross, Jesus secured all those blessings. So we can go back to the blessings of Abraham 6,000 years and receive the blessing. He told Jesus, I'm giving them health and healing. I'm giving you stripes on your back. Watch what Jesus did for us. I'm giving them mercy and I'm placing judgment on you. Acceptance for them, rejection for you. It's what Jesus did at the cross. Listen, from that moment, every Gentile on the earth can say, I am a child of Abraham, and I have the blessings of Abraham on my life. And if you look at the names of Jesus, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, every one of them speaks about our shepherd, our healer, our holiness, our righteousness, our peace, come on, our banner. All that happened at the cross. It's in the name of Jehovah Saves, Jesus. Well, I'd like to have time to preach. I wish I had time to go to the seed back in Genesis chapter 1, but I don't have time. You know the story of Balak and Balaam? He was trying to curse the armies of God. He says, I'm going to pay you. I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse. And then he kept on offering. Finally, instead of cursing the armies of Israel, he blessed the armies of Israel. And Balaam, the king, said, I told you to curse him. He said, you know what he said? I can't curse what God has blessed. I can't curse. There's a scripture. No devil in hell, warlock, or anybody else can put a curse on your life, an undeserving curse. I was live on radio for 5 years. And witches and warlocks would call me on the phone and they put curses on me and everything. Call me at home at night while I was asleep. Name my children, put curses on my children. And I'd say, you can't curse with God's blessed. I say, don't bother me anymore. Look what it says in Proverbs 26:2. Like a fluttering sparrow or darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. It has to go back to from where it originated. So if you curse me, you're going to get the curse. I'm not getting the curse because you've got to come through the blood of Jesus for it to stick on us. Come on, somebody. Well, let me go ahead and hurry. All right, I'm going to finish up with this. How do I receive the blessing and walk in the blessing? It's on your outline. You invoke the blessing on your life. The first thing you got to do, you just got to believe it. It's simple just to believe. I'm going to believe it. Yeah, but you know scientists say, I ain't worried about scientists or anybody else. I'm going to believe God. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him that believe. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I mean, grab onto that like a pit bull on a postman, you know? Take a step of faith. Believe God. Have faith. I'm going to tell you what happened to my granddaughter Thursday night. She'd been in labor since 5 o'clock that morning, and it was 9 o'clock at night, and I'm uptight. I'm uptight. And I told her dad is my son's brother's father-in-law. But anyway, I called my wife, and I got Brother Hank Hennigan, the daddy of my daughter-in-law. And I said, now come here. We are people of faith. We believe God. I don't care what. That nobody's in control of my granddaughter. And the devil was painting. All, you know how he paints pictures. Death and funerals and all that stuff. He does that. He can do that real fast. And he started doing that. I said, we have faith and we're going to pray in tongues. I'm sorry if you don't. You should. But because you can only say so much in English. That only takes about maybe 45 seconds. But I can pray in the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what. We started praying and believing God. Don't believe anything everybody else is saying. And all their, reason this didn't happen. We trust God. We within 30 minutes, they took my granddaughter back there, did a cesarean section. Boom, I had me, Scotty Rose, born. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is so simple. Just believe it. Faith is nothing but believing. Number two, receive it. Act like you got it. If you can believe it, then you can receive it. Remember, and these are they which have sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. You know what 100-fold really is? It's 10,000-fold. It's not 100. That word 100-fold, go look it up in the Bible. It means 10,000-fold return in your life. So what you do is you start believing it and you receive it, you know? My son-in-law played in the NFL as a receiver, and they would throw a pass, and he'd catch the pass. Just receive what God says. Believe it. Receive, that means you start acting like you have it. And I'll tell you what, expect it. When the lame man was at the gate every day, Acts chapter 3, he looked up at Peter, and then Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look on up. So the man gave his attention, expecting to get something from them. I'm telling you, we need to expect God to do it. If you want to experience more of God's faith, you must live favor-minded. I expect God's help. I'm not commanding God's help. I just expect him to do it. He's crowned me with loving favor. I'm not talking about being arrogant or proud or something like that or better than anyone else. I'm just talking about having confidence and boldness, and you start expecting God to do it. I'm going to tell you what. You ever heard of Piccadilly? Piccadilly is it's one of those cafeteria type things. I'm going through the line. Come with me. I'll show you right now. They'll have catfish in a thing, in a platter, bucket, whatever they put it in. And I'll tell you to the person, I'll say, watch this. I'll take two pieces of catfish. It never fails. She gets those, blah, 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 and I get the two biggest pieces in the pan. I know that's so simple and probably halfway stupid, but the fact of the matter is, I got favor. I'm going to get the best. That's all there is to it. I don't know why I told you that story, but it's all right. Number four, declare God's favor in your life. Words have power. Come on. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And watch this. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now glory be to God, our Father, forever and ever. Amen. Words have power. Call it, say it, talk it, believe it until it happens. Declare God's favor. I've got the God's favor. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible said. He walks in us. He talks in us. He does great things in our life. Now, I'm through. Don't clap now. See, he's through. Thank God he's through. No. I believe this, what I just told you. I would not come with this stuff. I'm going to tell you, this works. It's the greatest study, one of my greatest studies in the whole Bible, is to just walk that word out and watch how God, you know, he does love us. You love your kids? Yeah, we love them. We want to kill them, but we still love them sometimes. But God loves us, and he wants the best for our lives. And we've got an anointing on us to be blessed. And I want to encourage you today. I was supposed to be finished 5 minutes ago. Who will give me just five more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. I challenge you to go down to that bar room, sports bar where all that stuff is. Go do it. You can do it. I mean, it's pretty, I admire this couple right here to do what they're going to do now. You know, so most people are thinking about not doing anything. Just go ahead and go fishing. Let's go do that for God. You'll be blessed. You'll be happy. He will bless the work of your hands if you'll do that. Don't listen to the enemy. Come down. He'll be saying, come down off that wall. You know, this is no Nehemiah. Nehemiah wasn't coming off the wall. It's time to get a sword and a trowel and go do the work. And you're a blessed church. And now if this is where God is moving you, then go do it. And don't look back. And you will be blessed, and you'll raise your children in that church and those walls that you're going to build. I saw it yesterday. I want to just encourage you today, but I want to do something. I want to speak a supernatural blessing over this church. Now, if you're going to obey what the word says, you're going to get blessed. And really and truly, you're going to be able to outrun the blessing of God. You can't outrun it. He'll just overtake you and just pull you in the blessing. I'm not talking about just the money and all that. I'm just talking about living a life of being blessed. I can truthfully say my life has been blessed. I'm 70 years old. My life's been blessed. My marriage has been blessed. We've had fights, struggles, and I mean, I've almost died, and we've needed money, and we had to pray and our church to believe God for all these kinds of things. But you know what? He's faithful. And just always keeps telling yourself, I'm blessed. And I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. And allow God to use you to be a blessing to somebody else. And we just keep passing it on and passing it on, you know. So let's pray. I don't know really what I'm going to pray over you, but I want to pray a blessing over. And I want you to make sure you understand, this is not just for the church work. This is for your life. If the church didn't put you in a position to get blessed, then we failed. I clap more for the congregation sometimes than the pastor, because y'all stick it out with their visions and my vision. And if I didn't have the people, we couldn't do anything. So I want you to be blessed. I want your children blessed and your grandchildren blessed. I want everything you lay your hands to prosper. So I want to pray for you right now. I'm just going to ask God's blessing upon this church. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I came down to Gainesville, Florida, and Lord, I just want to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to do something supernatural. God, I just went through the part just then about seasons. There's a new season here at this church, Father. And I ask God that you bless this season that this church is in. And God, you get them excited and on fire. And God, I ask that you increase their finances. Prosper this church, Lord. Prosper every person here. Lord, let everything they do in their life have your seal on it, God. Give them joy and touch marriages and families, Father. And God, I ask that you give them a peace that passes all understanding, a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And God, you give them a will and a mind to work and to build the kingdom, God. I speak supernatural blessings over this church, every person that's here who didn't make it to church yet. And Father, I'm thanking you and asking you right now that they be blessed, God. And everybody will speak the same language, 4 steps to walk out the blessing. Let the blessing fall, let them experience, live in it, and love every moment of it in the name of Jesus. I want you, while your head bowed, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Maybe you've never really been born again, and so maybe you question it sometimes, but I guess, without a doubt, the greatest blessing in your life is to be born again and to have Jesus as your Lord. I just like to pray for you before I leave today. If you'd say, you know, I'm going to give my whole life to Christ today, just lift your hand up and put it right back down. Let me pray for you, please. I want God to touch you. Okay, thank you. Who else would say that's me? There's a moment that you maximize, and this is the most important moment. Anyone else would raise their hand and say that's me? How about this? It's just kind of like maybe your relationship's got just a little bit lukewarm or getting a little cold. You just need the fire back in your walk with God, your excitement back serving Him. Who would say, just pray for me, Brother Scott? I want that. Okay, all right. Hey, I've been there. Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to say it like this. If you have another need in this church right now, just say, I have a need. Would you pray for it? I have a need. God knows the need. Okay. All right. Who else will say that's me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing over Victory Church, the pastors of the church. Father, I speak over the congregation, the worship team, the dream team, all they're doing for you, God. I ask you supernaturally just empower them with the blessing, God. And God, for those that need their fire back, God, that you would send down the Holy Spirit to give them fire and a hunger for you. And those that have a special need, God, you know the need. Meet the need. And Father, we're going to all pray. Let's everybody pray this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you right now.
Ask you right now.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Come into my life. As my Lord,
and
Savior.
And Savior.
I believe that you're alive. That God has raised you from the dead. And right now, with my mouth, I confess I'm saved in the name of Jesus.
Name
and everybody said, come on, give God the best shout you got
Hallelujah.
Right now.